It is a privilege to join together with all of you this morning, and so just want to extend my welcome to each of you, and just to be able to travel together and see what God would have for us. What an awesome privilege. So hopefully you've been blessed by our time of worship. I know I sure was. Good stuff. Now we come to that time of studying God's Word together, so welcome. And we press on. We have just wrapped up going through Genesis. We embark now upon the next book, Exodus. So turn to Exodus. The book of Exodus with us. Go to chapter 3, actually. Go to Exodus chapter 3. The ushers have come down the aisle just briefly to make sure you have a Bible if you need one. Don't hesitate to raise your hand. If you need one, they'll pass it over to you. It's yours to keep if you need it. And for all of us, let's go to Exodus. Chapter 3 is where we pick it up. How's everybody doing this morning? I heard awesome. I heard blessed. That's good stuff. And if you are, I hope this time will move that along and encourage it. But I recognize that some of you might say, well, truth be told, not so great. Maybe you're facing something financially or something health-wise. Perhaps this morning you're struggling with a relationship issue. I recognize we can come in with a lot going on in our lives. Sometimes we feel like we're the only one going through things and everybody else is doing so great. But the reality is, because I get to know so many of you and travel with you, I understand there are all the different places and much going on. And so we gather with need. We gather with a desire that God would touch and minister. And that's the awesome thing. As we're going to be reminded of this morning, we do indeed find in Him that one who is the answer, the one who is our hope, our healer, just all those things. So I pray this morning would minister to each of us right where we're at. And I believe it will if we come open and ready to receive and to act upon it. As we come to this book of Exodus, as I said, we're going to start in Exodus 3, but I kind of want to catch us up to speed of what's been going on since we left off there in Genesis. As we come to Exodus 3, the situation has changed drastically for the Israelites. You remember, they had gone down to Egypt. Joseph had gone before them, and then Joseph had brought them down, his family down. So the children of Israel, Israel himself and his family and all, they'd gone down to Egypt, some 70 strong of them, and they were the guest. And Pharaoh gave them a land there, and a part of the land there in Goshen to live in Egypt and all. So they went down there as guests as we wrapped up Genesis. But as we come to Exodus, many, many years have passed since then. There is now a new king. Joseph's gone. Israel's gone. Jacob is gone. And there's now a new king, and he doesn't know Joseph. And he has a fear of these Israelites. Because although they came in only 70 of them, they have, through all these ensuing years, grown greatly in numbers. And so the new king, the Pharaoh, is afraid that they might rise up and revolt and all. So the Pharaoh enslaves them. And indeed, their servitude is harsh. But in the midst of that, of course, God is still at work. As we come to chapter 2, we see now that God is going to be raising up one who He'll use, the Lord will use, to deliver the children of Israel who are indeed in slavery. In chapter 2, we read how Pharaoh's daughter is out one day, and she sees a little baby, a little Israelite baby floating along. See, it turns out that the Pharaoh had issued an order that all the Israelite boy children should be killed and all, but this young baby's parents chose not to do that. Instead, they built a little boat for him, a little ark, and they put the baby in there, and they push him out into the stream, and the baby is discovered by Pharaoh's daughter. She takes the little baby in and raises this little baby as part of Pharaoh's household. Now, you know who I'm talking about. The baby's name is what? This is Moses. We meet Moses here in chapter 2. Well, now as we arrive at Exodus chapter 3, Moses has grown. He's a man. But actually, we learn by chapter 3 that, or as we come up to chapter 3, that Moses had fled to a land called Midian. And that's because while he was there in Egypt, he had gone out walking one day. He saw an Egyptian and a Hebrew fighting. He killed the Egyptian, buried the Egyptian, thought it was hidden, but wasn't. He becomes aware that what he's done is known. And so he flees. So although Moses was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, although there's a grandson of Pharaoh, Pharaoh is now out to kill Moses. So Moses has fled to Midian. By this point, he has a wife, and it's been many years now, and he's out here taking care of the flock, the animals and all. Let's pick it up here in Exodus 3:1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So as we pick it up now, a lot's ensued. It's been many, many years. He's living in Midian. He has a wife and all, and he's just taking care of the flocks out there. But God is preparing him and training him for how God's going to use him. But as far as Moses knows, on this day that we're reading about, this is a day that seemed like any other day. He doesn't know this day holds something totally awesome in it. He's just out there taking care of the flock, and he takes it over by this particular mountain. He takes his flock over to the base of this mountain and all. But see, although it seems like just any other day to Moses, it is in reality a day that Moses' whole life is about to change. God himself is about to have a discussion with Moses. And what he tells Moses changes Moses' life for good. In verses 2 through 10 there in chapter 3, we read about God's call upon Moses. It's summarized really in verses 9 and 10. So look at chapter 3 now, verses 9 and 10. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. So God is speaking. This is a call of Moses. He's saying that the children of Israel, God has heard their cry. And I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So there's the call, the beginning of this call upon Moses, where God says, I will send you. It's me and you, Moses. We're going to go for it. I will send you to deliver the children of Israel. Well, to this call of God, Moses responds in verse 11, if you look at it. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? When we think of Moses, we can't help but think of the pictures, the images we've seen through movies and all, perhaps. Or maybe you just think of the text later on. We think of Moses, you know, we think of him as standing there parting the Red Sea. We go, wow, you know. And we think of him coming down from the mountain later on, just his face aglow. He's got the Ten Commandments. Everybody's going, whoa. Well, that's where we're going to get in this thing as we travel with Moses. But he doesn't start there. He's a very reluctant servant at the beginning, like many of us might be this morning. And so what does he say? He says to God here in verse 11, basically he goes, who, me? God's saying, I'm going to send you and you're going to deliver them. And he goes, who, me? Who am I that I should go and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Now notice that. Notice where his attention is. Who am I? What does God say to Moses' protest here? Look at verse 12. So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I've sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God reassures Moses of God's very presence through all that Moses will be going through. To that, Moses asked, well, what shall I tell them when they ask, who sent me? What's your name is? To that, God makes this awesome declaration that's going to be our focus this morning. God says, you tell them, I am who I am. When they ask what my name is, this is my name. I am who I am. See, therein lies Moses' answer. But not just for Moses, of course. For in that declaration lies the answer to the cry of every heart. And whatever you come in here with this morning, and whatever your struggles are, he would say, and what I've titled our time together this morning as, he would say, I am who I am. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that we can come just as we are. You know us inside out, know us better than we know ourselves. And we can be assured of certain things. You love us. You're out to save us, not to get us. For all those who received of your saving work, we can know you have a plan and a purpose. But Father, we confess, we are frail. We get distracted. We get our eyes onto the problems. We get our eyes onto us. Lord, help us this morning. Would you lift our eyes, lift our minds, lift our hearts upwards, and give us your take. Once again, we pray, Lord, help us lay hold of what you're trying to show us. Lord, Father, you want to equip us. You want to strengthen us. You want to meet needs this morning. Help us to be receivers of that now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Consider this interaction between Moses and God. Now, for time's sake, we're going to kind of move through some of this somewhat rapidly because I want to get to some main points. So we're going to summarize some of the text. After the Lord says, you tell them I am who I am and that I am sent you. From there to the end of the chapter 3, verse 22, basically those verses are about God continuing to outline his call upon Moses. What he wants Moses doing and how through that he's going to go and there's going to be these wonders that are done and the idea is confronting Pharaoh and all. So he tells him about that. Well, then we get to chapter 4, verse 1. Now we have Moses, as he begins a series of responses to this call of God, these declarations of God. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. What an interesting discussion that we have before us. Well, suppose they don't believe me. Suppose they say, God didn't send you. What an interesting thing to say to God. Well, suppose. What about, have you thought about, what about, suppose they say these things. I wonder if some of us are in verse 1 this morning. I wonder how many of us live in suppose land. God's speaking to you. He's calling you. He wants to work in you or through you, both. But from us, he gets, well, what if? Have you considered God? You know, this might happen. Suppose this. Actually thinking that those are reasons not to yield to God. But we see, what's God doing? God's going to be directing Moses, his eyes off the problem and onto the answer. Off of himself and onto God. But when we begin with suppose and what about, we've got our eyes in the wrong direction. Let's read on. What is God's answer to Moses' supposes? That's a tongue twister right there. Well, in verses 2 through 9 of chapter 4, God begins to answer Moses' concerns here by telling him and showing him, okay, cast your staff on the ground. It turns into a snake and all, and he picks it up. And basically, it's kind of a series of demonstrations where God shows Moses, I'll be with you. I'll be empowering you. You'll be doing these signs and all that only I could do. And that's how they'll know that you're from me. So he's basically saying, I'm not sending you out saying, hope you make it. I'll be right there. I'll be empowering you. I'll be gifting you to meet the needs. I'll be working in you and through you, is the idea. Well, at that point, Moses tries another angle to try to dodge the call of God. Look at verse 10 with me now. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you've spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. What's his angle there? What's he trying to do there? Lord, I don't have what it takes to answer your call. I don't speak well. I'm not eloquent. Haven't been before this, haven't been since you started speaking to me, God. Nothing's changed. I don't speak well. Basically saying what? I have weaknesses. I have deficiencies. Moses is very, very aware of what he sees as his shortcomings. And God's asking him to be to use him, but he's going, but I don't speak well. But we have to remember, God doesn't call us, doesn't want to work in us because of our ability. He's looking for availability. He gives the abilities. He gives the gifts, as he's going to be talking to Moses about here. But we need to remember, see, we look at ourselves, and right away we're so aware of our weaknesses. Well, I don't really speak well. I haven't been to seminary. And God knows who he's dealing with. He knows you. And he has the best plan for us. And this work he wants to do in us and through us is awesome stuff. But here, we question. We challenge him. Are you sure, God? I don't speak all that well. What's the Lord say to that? Verse 11. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Lord, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak well. So again, what does he say? Moses, it's not about you. It's not about your abilities, Moses. It's about me in you, Moses. I'll be your mouth. I'll give you what to say. I know who I'm working with. Basically say, Moses, you let me worry about what you're worried about. You just look to me. Trust me in this. Have some faith. Well, then Moses tries another tactic here, verse 13. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Basically, what's Moses say? Lord, just find somebody else. You can find someone else to go do this. I'm not your man. You don't want me. I have weaknesses. The Lord comes along to us and he wants to use us. And he puts something in our heart. He sets it before us in need. But so quick, no, send someone else to the children's ministry. Send someone else to help over there. And so we're so aware of these weaknesses and all. But what's God's answer to him? Look at verse 14. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now, you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you should do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people. And he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Moses, I got the bases covered here. I'll be with you, I'll be with him. Moses coming, he'll help speak for you. You can speak to him and he'll declare to the people. Moses, I'm going to work in all of this. But what we see basically here in this whole section is this. Moses finds himself in a circumstances. He finds himself arguing with God. Telling God. Trying to clarify for God. Well, you know you're picking here, and you know what I'm like, and you know my deficiencies and all. But did Moses really think he's going to tell God something that God didn't know? Think about it. I mean, here's Moses saying, Lord, you know, I'm like this. I have this difficulty in my life. I have this characteristic. I have this problem. I'm not all that smart. I don't talk that well, or whatever we come up with. As if God's going to say, oh, I didn't know that. You know what? You're right. Forget the whole thing. I'll find someone else. You really don't talk that well. No. You're not going to tell God something he doesn't already know. He knows us. He knows who he's dealing with. Again, it's not looking for our abilities, it's our availability. That he might get the glory in all he's going to be doing. It's going to point to him in it all. But we've got to settle this issue. God, see, what's God doing here with Moses? God wanted Moses to get his eyes off the task and get his eyes off himself, and instead to get his eyes upon the answer, to get his eyes upon the Lord. Now, it's very normal for us to look at the issues. We do get that call from the doctor about our health, or we look at the finances. We have this horrendous fight with our mate or something, or you know, and we just, oh man, and that just, and of course our thoughts tend to go that way. But the problem's the problem. It's not the answer, it's the problem. I've got to have something to bring to bear upon the problem. And so God in His love would direct my attention off the problem and onto His answer. Off of me and my inabilities and all, and onto the one who has what I need. But that's a fundamental decision and choice we need to make as we come up against these things of our lives. What am I first going to look to and lean on and be about? So what's His answer for the things that Moses is going to face and to fulfill his calling? What's the answer for us? What's the answer for to fulfill our calling? How's this going to happen? This is now where we come to something that is so awesome. And for some, it might just be a reminder. For others, brand new. May it refresh and challenge and bless all of us here. Do you know what God's name is? See, God's name isn't God. That's a title. It's kind of a description, Supreme One and all. That's a title. But what's His name? He tells us what His name is. Verse 14. Look at it, 3:14. You're back in chapter 3 now. Look at verse 14. He tells us, for Moses says, well, when they ask me, what is God's name? Who sent you? What am I going to tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Interesting. What name does He choose to be known by? What name does He say, this is who I want you to, I want you to present me to them? This is whose name you're going in. I am has sent you. The great I am. I am who I am. Now, that Hebrew word that's translated I am there is a translation of a Hebrew word that means the becoming one. When you see in your Bible the word Lord in all capitals, like go to verse 15, the next verse there. In the middle it says, the Lord God of your fathers, etc. And the Lord is all in caps. That is a translation from the Hebrew of the YHWH. I'm trying to keep this small because I don't want to turn into a whole big study on just this part of it, but just to drive this home. When you see Lord all in caps there like that in your King James and New King James, it's a translation of YHWH. From that, generally it's translated either as Jehovah or Yahweh. We're not sure because we don't have the vowels. The original writers, the name of God was too holy. They never said it. They usually used Adonai. And so we have that idea there. That's His name, or that's the Lord. That's what's described there. Often again, Yahweh or Jehovah. But when He comes now to saying, the name I want you to use, my name I go by here, who sent you, by saying I am, see, it's in this I am of God that we really begin to understand the essence of what Jehovah means. What am I saying? When He says He's the becoming one, He's picking a name that means this. I become for you what you need. In me, He's saying, you're going to find what you need. I will become for you what you really need. And so that's the name He wants to be known by. The one who becomes, the becoming one. Now, the awesome thing is, as we go through Scripture, God places His name, Jehovah, in conjunction with His attributes. So that we read throughout Scripture, God places who He is with what He is. For example, and Scripture will read that He's called, for example, Jehovah Jireh. To translate it, it means the Lord your provider. Or Jehovah Ra, the Lord your shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is your peace. See, He combines who He is with one of His attributes, His character, with the goal of understanding what we can receive from Him. That when I'm in turmoil, He is my peace. And all those other things, He's my shepherd, and all those things that He is. Now, God isn't giving us his name to show off. He's showing us our answer to the things we face. See, whatever the real need is, the heart need, he is our answer. And that's what he's trying to say, that in him we find the answer. And so his very name, I am these things for you. In essence, his name is his offer to meet our needs. He won't make you call upon him. He won't make you receive that. But he offers it. His name is his offer. You really want peace? Yes. Well, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, Jesus said, I give unto thee. A peace not on circumstances, but on his nature, his character. And so we see it in all these ways. His offer to us. His very name points out what his offer is. It's God saying he wants to be, for you and I, what we really need. Now consider this. You want to turn there, but just in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we read this. It's speaking about Jesus, the Messiah. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Well, Pastor, that's kind of a jump. Wait a minute. I was tracking with you. We're in the Old Testament here. You're saying that God says now his name is I am. I am who I am. And that he uses his name to set forth what we need. All these attributes and characteristics are made known to us that we might know him and all those things. But also you jump over here all of a sudden, okay, Jesus came and you shall give him a name. You call his name Jesus. Pastor, what's the connection? Some of you are familiar with this, but it's such good stuff. Great reminder for all of us. God sent his son to this earth. And in doing so, he very specifically said, you give him this name. You call him Jesus. Now, the English word Jesus is a transliteration of the Hebrew, Yeshua, which means it's a contraction of Jehovah is salvation. So again, in Jesus' name, we have his mission. He came, what did it say? Because he will save his people from their sins. That in Jesus you have not just a way, but the only way that God has set up by which we might be saved. I can't be saved from my side of all this. Our looks, our intelligence, our church attendance, our trying to be good and all, that won't do it. So God reached from his side. And we read that Jehovah, as we said, he offers what we need. In this case, Jehovah is salvation. How? Through Jesus. So his very name. See, Jesus is the I am incarnate. He is the great I am made incarnate. Came as a man to become our salvation if you just receive what he did on the cross. God sees and knows every need. Our greatest need is salvation. He is our salvation. And then in that relationship, it opens the door, if you will, to all these other attributes. Now, it's not religion that's these things. It's not churchianity and not church attendance and all. It's a personal relationship with him that makes available what he is. And the invitation is to dive in. Discover who you have and who you are in him. And for the things you face, you'll find he's more than enough. And to fulfill the calling he has, because every single believer has a calling. He has what we need to fulfill that, not in ourselves, but in him. But how sad when a believer stays distant. How sad when there's an ocean of God, his nature, his character, there, and we kind of stay right there on the shore, you know, we get our ankles wet. And I'm speaking figuratively here, but there's a whole ocean about God to dive into and dive deep and discover all the neat aspects and attributes of God. And so many Christians kind of stay right there on the shore and kick at the water a little. Saved, but not knowing him and how awesome he is. And too many settle for churchianity, so to speak, and a formal religion and all. And miss out on all that's in him. He stands there and says, I am who I am. And I will be for you. your strength, your healing, whatever your needs are. I want to be that for you. Think about it. Let me just read it real quick. Over in John chapter 8, let me just read this. Sorry, verse 57. Then the Jews said to him, they're speaking to Jesus, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Well, they knew exactly what he was saying. You might debate this today, but then they took up stones to throw at him, it said. They knew right well. He was claiming to be the great I am. Before Abraham ever was, I am. And they just went, what? See, because they didn't believe. And they didn't want to believe. And they had stubbornness and pride and hardness of heart. And they wouldn't believe. So they pick up stones. They don't want to hear this. So they try to get rid of him. But the point is, Jesus applies the I am to himself directly. Again, Jesus is the I am incarnate. And in him, we find our answers. The answers to our fears, the answers to our doubts, the answers to our turmoil. But unfortunately, too many of us, we do stay distant and we don't know him in this way. And so we're not receiving. We're still eyes are on the problem, eyes upon us, and missing out on what he has for us. So I have a question for you this morning, and not to be answered out loud, but just to consider. Have you been arguing with God? Have you been busy telling God how his promises don't apply to you? Have you been busy telling God how certainly he can't use you? And if he really knew you, he could never love you, couldn't save you, whatever you're arguing with God about. Telling him, okay, well, I'm saved, God, but certainly you can't work through me. If you're arguing with God, that's a rough place to be. But he invites you to move from that spot. Do you know what a good definition of repent is? A good definition of repent is this. It means to agree with God. To repent means to agree. I'm going to see it your way, God. I'm going to agree to begin to see me and life and everything as you say it is. This morning, if you haven't received Jesus, would you agree with God today? See, too many of us think like, well, yeah, I want to go to heaven, but then we try to come up with our way. And we say, well, here's how I think I'm going to get there. I'm going to be good enough. Or there's going to be several ways, and I'll just find one someday or something. All these things, that'll avail nothing. Agree with God that you can't do it on your own, but he sent his son to do it for you. Receive the gift of the work of the cross and be saved. Agree with God. Ask him, ask Jesus into your heart and be saved. Or maybe someone else here, you know him. You've received Christ as Savior, but you've wandered off. The relationship is distant with the Lord. We might say he's in the back seat. You know, he's in your life, he's in your car, but you've got the steering wheel. Perhaps you've gone so far as to call yourself a prodigal in all of this. What arguments are you placing before God? You know, we argue with God, well, God, I've got a better plan, this area of my life. Lord, I thank you for saving me, but I know best. Or, you know, we keep these areas away from God. Or we run from him or whatever. But down deep, you know it's short of God's best for you. Or I pray he'll show you that. That whatever you think is so much better, it isn't. It's time to quit arguing with him about that and agree with God this morning. Would you agree with God and come back? Agree with God this morning and return to him. Maybe you're here this morning and neither one of those apply to you. Maybe you are someone who you know the Lord, you're tracking with the Lord, you have a healthy relationship with him, you're following him and serving him and all. Awesome, awesome stuff. But even in that case, I would just encourage you to make sure you're not holding anything back. Make sure there's not a closet somewhere in which you're saying, Lord, can I keep my plans here or whatever. See, God is calling us to yield all of ourselves to him. And to answer yes, to answer, God, I'm going to agree with you on this, is for our blessing and benefit. And so for all, the question is, are you arguing with God in any way? Because I know he's got a calling for every one of us. But again, too often we say, well, I couldn't do that, or no, that can't be it, or we try. Have you been telling God all the reasons why He can't use you? You feel a burden on your heart. You see a need. Oh, I can't. I don't speak that well. Moses tried that one. You know, we come up with these reasonings. And God is saying, stop doing that. Again, I'm not looking for your abilities. God's got the abilities. He's looking for availability, vessels that He can pour Himself into and then through. Again, do you really think you're going to tell God something He doesn't know about you? Quit disqualifying yourself because God's not doing it. God's not disqualifying you. Why do you do that? Don't keep yourself from all He has for you, to work in you, to meet those needs. Again, to deal with the doubts, the fears, the pain. And then to work through us. Quit disqualifying yourself. God has them. This morning, whatever is going on in your life, God wants to meet the need. The deep need. The real concerns. The real issues. So this morning the question is, are you troubled? Do you lack direction for your life? Are you hurting? Are you doubtful? Whatever is going on, God's answer to you is the same as His answer to Moses. And it's an answer intended to get our eyes off the question and on to the answer. Off of us and on to Him. And that's in love that He does that. Again, look at our chapter, Exodus chapter 3, look at verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moses, I'll be with you. I'll be empowering you. I'll be guiding you. I'll be watching over you. Got something I want to do in and through you. I will be all that you need. I am all that you need. How awesome that is. But now look at what the great I am says next in verse 15. We haven't read the whole verse yet. Look at it with me now. Verse 15. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Who do I say sent me? You tell them I am who I am. You tell them I am sent you. And you tell them this also. This that I want to be known for. My sufficiency for you. My name. That I'm your peace. I'm your healer. I'm your shepherd. All these things. I'm the banner over you. All these things. This that I want to be for you. It's going to be good for the next 2 weeks. But make sure you hurry up. Because then all bets are off. Is that what it says? This is my name forever. Forever I am who I am. I am the becoming one. I will always be your sufficiency. I will always be your peace. I'll always be your salvation. Forever, I want to be known by you as the I am, the one who is for you what you really need. And I want you to know it forever. And this is my memorial to all generations. This is good stuff. Let's go live in it and remember it and respond to it. May God work in us and through us. This awesome, awesome truth. Yeah, He's got calling for us. And really, it's just through the calling I get to know Him better. And so it just grows and grows. The Lord says, this is my name. It's my name forever. What an assurance. What a refuge His name is. I can invite the worship team up as we get ready to wrap it up. Are you in need of prayer this morning? There'll be prayer partners by the prayer room. Make sure you come get prayer. If you need to receive Christ as Savior, and if you haven't, you need to do that. Jehovah is your salvation. It's through Jesus. Come and receive it. Go to the prayer room. Have you wandered off? You know Him. But you're arguing with Him. But thinking somehow your plan's better. Maybe you're saying you can't come back. You've sinned too greatly. Don't argue with Him anymore. He knows. The call still stands. come home. Prodigal, come home. Go to the prayer room and do that. But for all of us, as we face the things we face, He is who He is. And as we go out and respond to His calling, He's the enabler. He's faithful. He who has called you will also enable you. He will strengthen you. He'll provide for us. That is so awesome. We read in Proverbs 18:10 this, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What's that mean? Again, His name is His name is His attributes. His name points to His character. His name points to what we find in Him. That's what it means. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, meaning in Him we find all that we need. The righteous run to Him and are safe. This morning, run, don't walk, to the Lord. Run into the name of the Lord. Run into His very nature, His character, and don't stop. Dive in and swim all around, discover all that we have in Him. He waits. He calls us to work in us and through us. There's callings for every Christian here. Don't argue any longer. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, and may add to us, I am has sent me to you." Father, thank you for this awesome truth. Father, thank you that you do love us, not out to get us, but to save us. Father, for those that need to respond this morning to the offer of salvation, draw them. And we who by your mercy sit here saved, Lord, you have things you want to do in us and through us. I pray you would fan the embers into a flame. Stir us for you. Help us to not settle. May you find us a hunger to know you more and more, to discover who you are when you declare you are who you are. Lord, and then help us go out of here and respond to that calling. Help us get our eyes off our problems and on to you, off of us and on to you. Help off of all these things and on to the one who's our answer, the great I am. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.